Brett Hollander back with you here on WBAL News Radio 1090. We're joined now by the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, John Manuel. And, John, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's been a busy week. Before we get into the Orioles specifically, in that first round or two, did anything jump out to you as a surprise?
Well, I guess it shouldn't have been a surprise because some of the other guys were on to it, but I just didn't expect – I just really didn't think that Bass Cameron could go down 37 spots to the Astros. I thought some other team would take him. It didn't. Obviously, there must have been a large bonus out there. But, you know, to me, Major League Baseball is a cartel. You don't have – team players don't have – it's not a free market in any way, shape, or form. You have one cartel to play for, and it's very hard to get your market value, quote-unquote, for any of these players. I'd say it's next to impossible because to play Major League Baseball, you have to join the cartel and play by their rules. So I really thought that someone would call the bluff and draft Bass Cameron, and then he fell 37 spots. I thought that the teams like the Astros and the Rockies, that's an extra picks. So with the teams with the extra picks that have the best draft, and that, you know, early returns, obviously none of these guys have played a pro game yet, but early returns were pretty positive for the teams like that that had extra picks and were bold in making them their selection.
Specific to the Orioles, DJ Stewart, 25 overall, the corner outfielder out of Florida State. Heading into the draft, what were your thoughts on him?
You know, actually, I think in every mock draft I did except for the last one, I had the Orioles taking DJ Stewart. In the last one, I did not think he would get to them. But a couple things. First of all, you know, he walks a lot and plays a corner outfield spot. He has power. He profiles to the outfield corner. I thought he lined up well for them. Second of all, he was with Team USA last summer. And professional baseball always has a in with the USA Baseball College National Team and has a coach on that team now. And it was Rick Down last year. And Rick is obviously an old friend of Buck Showalter's, you know, coached with him in the minor leagues in the Yankees organization. They're boys. And so I kind of made that connection because I remember talking to Rick last summer about DJ Stewart when I was doing those games on TV. We had a long rain delay, and I went in the clubhouse and talked to Rick. So that was why I made the connection of the two. Of DJ to the Orioles, because Rick really liked DJ Stewart's athleticism and work ethic. You know, he is a bat. He's a left-handed power bat. He's not going to be an above average or average even, I don't think, defender as a major leaguer. He can get better, but I think he's going to be a left fielder and maybe a fringy, at best, left fielder defensively. But if he hits, I mean, I think he's going to be, he could be a 20-25 home run guy. He's got all kinds of strength. He's got a great football mentality, aggressiveness, but at the same time, play discipline, and present physicality. I mean, he's squat and strong at 6'2", 230, and I don't think he minds being having been the guy for Florida State, being the guy that that team revolved around the last 2 years. He took his walks, but he has leadership qualities as well in the clubhouse. I'm a DJ Stewart fan. I think you just have to understand that if he doesn't hit, he's really not going to help a major league team very many ways. And he's not going to be a total liability in those other ways, but his way to help a team win games is to hit and hit for power. So it's all going to really depend on the bat, whether he becomes an impact big leaguer or not.
The batting stance stands out, but so does his frame. 6'2", 230. You just don't see that a lot. 6'2", 230 for a major league player.
Yeah, he was a high school fullback, and he won 3 state titles in high school.
Wow!
So he's built like a fullback. I mean, that's what he's built like when you see him. You see his face. He's built like a fullback. If he played high school, college football, they probably would have made him an offensive guard. You know, he has that kind of frame. But he's athletic for that frame. He runs pretty well. You know, he's probably an average runner now, but he's going to slow down. So, but you know, after him, other than Garrett Clevenger, the rest of those first 4 or 5 picks for the Orioles were on the younger side, on the high school side, and it was a high school draft. So, you know, to me, on the surface, it's like a fairly well-run draft in terms of they weren't dogmatic. They lined up their board, they identified players they liked, and they were able to go out and get those players. It wasn't like we're going to go really college. It's like the Diamondbacks picked first overall. I think they drafted one high school player the first 15 rounds. This doesn't strike me as a dogmatic draft. This strikes me as a draft that was let's evaluate the players, line up the players, draft the players we like off our board, and that's what they did with a little bit of a signability pick, I think, in the second round, or I should say their supplemental first-round pick, Ryan Mountcastle. Didn't have a great spring down in Florida. You know, we had a better summer last year. He is he's a Sosnick-Cobb client. Sosnick-Cobb Karen is the name of that agency now. So his advisors are known for their players signing. They're not known for their players going to college. So he's going to sign. He's going to sign quickly. He's going to sign for the Orioles number. There's nothing wrong with that. He's, again, he's got a chance to be a pretty good player and has a chance to be a left fielder or third baseman offensively.